better to have him come off the bench. I think if it gets to a point where it just doesn't work, and even he knows, and Kerr's talked to him about it, then I think at that point there wouldn't be a choice. I'll say this, though, as far as him coming off the bench, I think it's... You'd be more likely to have Cousins come off the bench than Draymond. That was the one thing. I know were throwing out Draymond. Like, to me, it would be easier to have Cousins come off the bench from a basketball standpoint, purely. I actually don't think it's crazy what Lita said about him coming off the bench from a basketball standpoint. I think that makes sense. I just think there's other dynamics in play which make it unfeasible.
Yeah, now I'm reminded. Lita Rose, not a character in The Music Man, but there was a song, The Barbershop Quartet sang, that was called Lita Rose.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Again, we have Tim Roy coming up at 10:30. More of your phone calls here on 95.7 The Game as well. Iguodala, does he lose his role? Yeah, I think he might.
Some games he might.
And some games he might not.
Right. You know what's funny is we have been fixated in a way on, what if Cousins doesn't play down the stretch? Could that be something that bothers him? Hell yeah. Don't sleep on Iguodala not being happy.
See, I don't think he would mind.
Really?
I think it would bother Cousins more.
It might bother Cousins more, but I don't think Iguodala is going to be... I think Iguodala has every right to say, I should be on the floor late simply because I'm the smartest player on this team. Now, he is kind of a player who you don't expect to sabotage a team, nor do I think he will.
That's a strong word.
Unintentionally sabotage a team.
Okay.
That's all. I don't think he would do that. Some guys would. Some guys would.
Yeah.
They don't start. Come on. Do you ever get taken out of the starting lineup, JD, and then you root for your team to lose?
No. No.
No?
I'll be honest, I didn't.
But me neither. Some players do that. Some players definitely do that. Or you're a starting point guard and the coach, and you make a couple mistakes and the coach takes you out and you're pissed and they put in the backup and you root for him to do poorly.
No, I never really did that either.
Really?
No.
But
I was a starter, clearly a bench guy starter. Like, that was my...
Right.
And we're going back to high school. Yeah. But was my 4 years. It was starter, junior on a team with like 9 seniors, so it wasn't going to play much,
right.
And then starter.
Senior year.
Yeah.
So you started as a senior. That tells me you were, but you didn't start as a junior.
No.
That tells me you were 500 or worse your senior year.
Yes.
Or right around 500.
Yeah.
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 Because if you were building something.
We had a better junior class.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well,
no,
yeah. And I was playing spot minutes.
Because if you were building something and the coach knew that, you would have played a lot more as a junior.
That's correct.
And then, because you played a lot as a senior.
No, correct, because we only had 3 seniors.
And then, of course, as a senior, it was, well, let's get, seniors have really earned it. Let's play them since we ain't going to playoffs anyway. But it's a good thing you didn't have a good sophomore class when you were a senior.
No. No, they stunk. Lee in Santa Clara, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Lee?
Hey, guys. Great show and some amusing anecdotes this morning, as always. I wanted to talk about the resurgence of Klay Thompson. Don't look now, but he's got his three-point shooting percentage up to 36.5, and he's averaging career highs in rebounds and steals. And I think one of the most ridiculous NBA stats I've ever heard in my life was the other night when he had 43 points and he only dribbled the ball 4 times all game. I mean, that's just incredible. And I really think the main reason that Klay was off earlier is because they had the 2 main playmakers that weren't playing. And there's no way that Klay gets that 43.4 dribble night if Curry and Draymond are not on the floor. So I'm really confident that we'll see the real Klay, the rest of the year. The guy's a machine when it comes to, defense and shooting. And, again, I think most of the dip in his performance was attributed to Curry and Draymond being out. So I'm really excited about the direction, obviously Cousins too. So that's my input today. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Klay last night, 7-for-11, went up 1 whole percentage point on his 3-point shooting last night. 1 whole percentage point. Is it 36? How about this? Correction. You want to know why? You know what? He's actually a 36-6.
Okay.
Not 36-5. Because it's 36-5-9.
Or, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
So
I got you.
So it's even better.
Is he
going
to get to 40? Did you do that math? We were talking about that on post-game show last night with Guru.
I need to think about that one a little more.
Maybe a little friendly Warriors wrap-up wager.
So. I don't want to bet against the guy to do something.
So you just wouldn't take the bet?
Probably not.
In that instance.
Because 40 is the perfect number.
Yeah.
Because 40 is still, he's got work to do, but it's doable.
And again, I think he's going to have a month where he's basically 50. And he's going to need more than
this
that.
This may be the month.
He's going to need more than that. He's going to need another month where it's 47, 48,
but he can also
45.
But he can also go through a long stretch of shooting 41, 42, mm-hmm. and it'll creep up over the course of a couple weeks.
Yep.
If he does that. So,
Coach in Vallejo. Coach is up here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, guys. And as usual, I enjoy your show. But I hope you could take a little criticism here.
Of course.
You guys, okay, you guys want and you wish Damian Jones was a player, but he isn't. I mean, the guy has nothing that you could say he's really good at. He's a very slow jumper. That's why guards out rebound him. That's why he can go 21 minutes a game and don't get any rebounds. He doesn't block shots. He can't shoot. He has no feel for the game. Looney is so good and so quick. He reminds me of a young Dennis Rodman. He's quick to the ball. He knows the game. He's smart. He's an excellent defensive player. Why are you guys rooting for Damian Jones when he's obviously not a player?
Thanks, Coach. I think you're mistaken. I think you're listening to the wrong show.
I don't root,
against anybody. Right, and I don't either, but we said two words about Damian Jones on this show today.
I think his loss hurts their depth. I don't think it jeopardizes any title run.
I think what I said about Damian Jones was the fact that he hasn't been able to play the first couple of years doesn't mean that he can't play in the future, and that Kevon Looney is an example of that.
Right.
And that you shouldn't sleep on Jordan Bell not being able to play a year from now or 2 years from now because he isn't playing right now. It was a big picture point.
Right.
Not Damian Jones is this, Damian Jones is that. And look, Kevon Looney's a better player than Damian Jones.
Yes.
Who says he's not? Nobody's rooting for or against any of that. That's nonsense.
Right. No, I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
408, I love this. Who calls the station to crap on Damian Jones? Seriously.
Especially when he's hurt.
Seriously.
Especially when he's hurt.
Especially when he's hurt. And you know
poor
what?
Guy.
And you know what, damn it? He's out there in a sling.
Oh, no, I was going to say
he's
that.
Out there in a sling doing one-handed shot work.
Tell him, JD. That's right. We walked into the arena 3 hours before the game.
It's
there's Damian Jones.
Damian Jones is
shooting one-handed foul shots with the sling and doing defensive slides.
And like,
with
and
the
like,
sling.
And even like post-ups, like little light, like, you know, working on like a jump hook. Come on, man. Killing Damian Jones. Damian Jones is putting in a lot of work. Can't be doing that. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Tim Roy's going to join us at 10:30. Tim Bontemps is going to join us at 11:30. And Adonal Foyle at 12:30. We haven't had Adonal on this year.
No, we haven't. He'll be a good guy to talk to regarding Cousins.
Yeah, I think he absolutely will. And you got the Warriors and the Mavs tomorrow. Right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, roll along here on a Saturday. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors This Week. 888-957-9570. What are you most excited about with DeMarcus Cousins being added to this Warriors squad as early as Friday in Los Angeles? However, did you hear Steve Kerr? Did you hear Steve Kerr the other day?
The idea is we have to give ourselves a little leeway. I mean, that Clipper game is sort of the one we've targeted. We should give ourselves some leeway on either side because we have to see how the next week goes. So I suppose it's a possibility that it could be New Orleans. Maybe there's a possibility that it's whoever's after the Clippers. I don't even know who we play them. But Lakers. So something, that's the range that we're looking at.
Didn't rule out Wednesday.
Nope.
Didn't rule out Wednesday. That was under-talked about, I thought.
He said that on Damon's show, actually, I believe.
He said it, he said it at practice, and then he said it, He said it a couple times.
Huh?
That was a practice.
I like that he didn't know who they played after the Clippers. That's one thing that, well, we talk about this once in a while, too. I think fans would be surprised that, how many Warriors right now could tell you what their record is?
None.
I would say maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Just somebody who happened to look at the standings today. But that's one thing I always think's funny. What do we add now? How many wins? You know, we have 42 wins right now. Actually, 45. Oh, okay, you know, we're in that area. That's the way players look at it.
Yeah.
And they also look at it. They never look ahead, really, in the schedule. They just know, okay. Like, the Warriors probably just know.
All right, Saturday we're on the plane.
We're on the road for a while coming up. We know that.
Yeah.
What's our deal? Now, give me the specifics again. L.A., okay. Oh, we're going to be L.A. all weekend? Okay, that's cool.
How about 6 days in L.A.?
Is that what it is?
Because they're going to go Thursday.
Yeah.
They actually fly Thursday. Okay? They play, Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Wow.
So they're there Thursday night, Friday,
that's
Saturday.
That's two.
Sunday, Monday. They're going to stay over Monday night after the game. And then I think they're leaving at some point Tuesday to go to Washington to go back, go back east. And they have day off Wednesday. They're probably doing something,
right?
Something Washington, not visiting the White House related Wednesday, and then they play Thursday.
Yeah,
and then go to Boston and play Saturday and Indiana Monday.
6 days in L.A.
No home game after that game against the Pelicans for 15 days.
Is that what it is?
They play on the 16th Wednesday, and then the next home game is the 31st. The last day of January.
Well, they're ahead of schedule right now in terms of their home game, so it's got to even out at some point.
76ers and the Lakers. And the Laker game, and that's the Lakers at Oracle the night before the Super Bowl. So it's going to fly.
When's it? Okay, you're way ahead. God, you're into February.
Well, but that's what I mean. It's like starting tomorrow, Dallas, Denver, Pelicans.
Yep.
Boom, boom, boom. At the Clippers, Cousins comes back. At the Lakers, couple of days. At Washington, at Boston, at Indiana, come back. All of a sudden, it's the 31st of January. By the time they play another home game after that Pelicans.
Who is the game? Philly?
Philly and then the Lakers.
Then they have to go back east and play Philly, don't they?
Yeah, not till March.
Okay. You see my Hawks beat Philly last night?
Roger in Fremont. You're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Roger.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great.
Doing well.
Two things. One, you're talking about getting the Warriors younger, and the only way you can do that is trade Klay Thompson. His value is never higher than now. You can even do it this season.
The problem with that, Roger, is because Klay's a free agent at the end of the year, that team that trades for him's got to know they can re-sign him. And all indications so far that Klay wants to re-sign here. So it would almost be a case where you have to, the Lakers would almost say, I'll tell you what, we'll give you Kuzma for Klay. And then Klay says, all right, I'll re-sign with you guys in Lakers or something like that. Obviously, that's a hypothetical. But you're going to want to know that you're getting Klay Thompson for more than half a year if you're going to give up a young player or two.
The second thing is play Cousins starting the second quarter after he gets a rest from the first quarter and start him with Durant and, what's the guard's name? Quinn Cook. So that's a slow-down offense.
Oh, I got you.
Shooting. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah, Roger, JD's got it. He knows. He actually knows. Cousins going to start every quarter, according to JD.
And that's something I've said since, I don't know, August. September.
So 6 minutes to start every quarter, the fourth quarter you decide if you're going to bring him back.
It's probably not going to be 6 minutes initially. It might still be more like a 4 or 5 minute burst, I think, initially. But I think he's going to start the game. He's going to sub out, let's say, roughly middle of the first quarter. He's going to come back in and start the second quarter. He's going to sub out roughly middle of the second quarter. And then in an ideal world, you'd either decide to put him back in for the final 3 minutes, let's say, of the half or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think initially they probably won't. Although maybe they do. Maybe they play him 4 minutes and then they bring him back in for 3 minutes. I mean, you play him the first 4 or 5 minutes of the quarter, you bring him back in for the last couple of second quarter. But I do think the baseline, once he's up to speed, is going to be the first 6 minutes of each quarter, 24 minutes. And then the final, let's say, 3 minutes of the second and fourth quarter would get you closer to 30. Save a minute here or there. I'm not saying he's playing 30 minutes a game off the jump. He clearly will not. I think it's probably going to be closer to 20. But I think that would be the ideal, perfect world. Hey, he's healthy and he's back and he's contributing. This is how we want to use him.
Right. I think you're right there. I think if everything goes perfectly, by the time the Warriors get to the NBA Finals, Cousins will be playing between 25 and 28 minutes a game.
And that puts Cousins in the David West role.
Yeah.
Top of
Even
the
a
second.
Little more.
Top of the fourth.
Even a little bigger than
yeah.
that.
But
the, yeah.
But that role that West had.
Yeah.
And more. Yes, for sure more. And I still think that the start of the second and fourth quarter lineup is Cousins, Draymond, Iguodala, Clay, and Livingston. That, to me, is the lineup in the playoffs that you're going to want at the start of the second, start of the fourth quarter. Durant and Curry go back to playing the entire first and third quarters. No more stagger. And then you bring them back in as needed.
From the 925, WTF, did that caller say to trade Klay Thompson? Maybe the Bay Area doesn't know basketball. He was just saying that if the Warriors want to get younger, and get a couple young players, at least one good young player, maybe more than that, it would take a trade of Clay. That's all he was saying. He wasn't saying go do it. He wasn't saying go do it.
And if you do it, you can kiss your championship this year goodbye.
Oh, unless you trade him for Anthony Davis. What? They're going to get Anthony Davis at some point, right?
Are they? You calling that shot? Are you reporting that?
Who's close to sources? Who's going to be the next superstar to play for the Warriors?
Well, I wouldn't have said DeMarcus Cousins. Although, does he count?
Or will there be another superstar to join the Warriors in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think next 10 years, sure.
Do you?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Because
you know, if you stop winning championships, you get less desirable as a destination.
That's true.
Gotcha.
Although the last time the Warriors didn't win the championship, they got Durant. Just
true.
Just saying. Dave in San Jose, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, first of all, I just want to start out by absolutely declaring that you guys, without a doubt, are the best dog-walking radio in the Bay Area. So,
Thank you very much.
With the Cousins coming back, I think a real under the radar thing that we're going to have to watch of all people is how Durant interfaces, because I know the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, Durant's assists are up, he's at 6.5 or whatever it is, but from what I see, and Steiny, I think you actually coined this term a few years back, Durant's getting the Monte Ellis assist. But he's not getting the hockey assist. I mean, if he's double teamed and you're wide open and you're going to shoot, he's going to pass it to you. But he's not making that skip pass. And I think that's why Curry's assists are down. And I think that's why Clay has returned to normal once Draymond and Kerr came back. So, also guys like Zaza and David West, those guys played a role because they didn't shoot. So when Cousins on the floor, it's going to be really interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. You know, Durant's made those really strange comments at times after games about, you know, ball movement's overrated and we're supposed to move the ball, but sometimes that's not what the defense is giving you, where it seems to have conflicted with what Kerr has been saying. So I think it's going to be interesting when Cousins comes back and these five guys are on the court at the same time, got to play together. It's not going to be as easy as people think.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I will. Let me respond to the Durant assist thing, because I think that's a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
If Durant's getting us, let's just try to take it through this. If Durant's getting 6 assists a game, let's say, how's he getting them? Well, I'll tell you how he's getting them. They're throwing the ball to him in that mid-post area. This is for the most part. In that mid-post area, he's going to be a little bit deliberate. He's going to assess. He's going to try to see what the defense does. And then, if they make an action, he's going to look for the assist for the guy who's open. But what Durant doesn't do is go boom, boom. He
right.
just doesn't do that. He won't get the ball and move it right away to the next guy who then has something way more, something better to play off of. I think that's a very good point, that Durant still gets a lot of his assists off isolation, which is fine. It's not a criticism, but it does mean that you can get assists without the ball moving that much. So I think that's a really good point by the dog walker. A dog walker.
Antonio in Oakland, before we get to Tim Roy, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Antonio.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think, DeMarcus Cousins will be playing at the end of the game instead of Iguodala. You know, I know Iguodala's the smartest guy on the team. But Cousins, you know, he offers a little bit more offense. You know, he's a guy who can, you know, probably stretch the court, open enough more for Curry and Durant and Clay, because, you know, he can shoot that outside shot. Iguodala's not really an outside shooter. You know, he'll be similar to most space, like a more talented most space. But as far as Curry, you know, his assist not being up or whatever, that's because it's a ball-moving offense. It's not a LeBron or Westbrook holding the ball for 18 seconds to see who gets open. Then, you know, they get an assist because, you know, somebody finally got open, they got an easy shot. You know, this is not that kind of offense. You know, like, those guys are stat patterns. The Warriors don't have any stat patterns over here. You know, so that's why.
I don't know about that. Durant, you know what? I could see Durant's a little bit. Durant's going for assists this year. Don't you think?
I mean, I think he's doing, you know, the flow of the game. He's not out there just holding the ball for 20 seconds like LeBron, right?
No, not like that. But the ball stops more than usual when it gets to Durant.
Thanks, Antonio. Appreciate the call.
I got to get to Tim.
It's only a matter of time until Antonio badmouths LeBron, Westbrook, or Harden.
Well, I'm also down on Antonio. He said he was going to come up and say hello to Guru and I last night at the game, and he didn't.
I would have set the over-under a little earlier on that phone call for him to say something derogatory about LeBron or Westbrook or Harden. But, you know, it the over hit today. I would have bet the under and the over hit today. Tim Roy joins us now on 95.7 The Game, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. He'll be on the call tomorrow from Dallas, Tuesday from Denver, and the Warriors are about to fly out to head to Big D here coming up shortly, and he joins us now on 95.7 The Game. Tim, thanks a lot for the time, as always.
Always good to be with you guys. Just hanging out here on the tarmac, getting ready to fly to Dallas and see what the Warriors can do down there against the great Luka Doncic.
Tim,
stinks.
Yeah, boy, that guy. He's
pretty good. Kid's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing about him is, Tim, he's got everything. He's a young player, but he's also a veteran, too, because he played professionally overseas.
Well, yeah, that's the advantage he has in his rookie year over some of the other guys. He's played against men for a year. And, you know, so nothing fazes him. And the amazing thing I find about him is that when the game gets tight, he gets better. And you'll see him, like last night, you know, they don't find him in transition. Minnesota loses him for a second. What's he do? Steps right up, says, "I got this." Bang. Knocks down a three. They win the game. He just has this ability to slow it down when things are hot. And I think he's a real special guy.
You know what else sticks out to me about him, Tim, is he plays at his own pace. He's not. The game is, the old phrase, it's not too fast for him.
Not at all.
You know, great players. Curry never seems like he's rushing. And Doncic is kind of the same way. He's just completely under control all the time.
There's no question about that. He is under control, and he just has a little court sense and an ability to, again, to be calm when everybody else is frantic. And so I think that it's the scary thing to me is that when he came to the Mavs this year, he wasn't in tremendous, you know, shape. And so he can get a little bit better physically, and that's I think a scary thing for everybody. And then once he gets and knows the league and knows all the personnel, then he's got to be better in that department too. So this kid, you know, I rarely get too effusive over rookies because, you know, you never know, but man, he can play.
Tim, what do you make of this week for the Warriors, this past week, as it leads to what's ahead? You know, time off at home, practice days, a couple of opponents that are really struggling, an opportunity to maybe get on track, and another chance potentially for this team to start to get on a little bit of a run. I thought the Sacramento game and winning that game a week ago could be a little bit of a springboard. Now you've got DeMarcus Cousins coming back in a handful of games. Do you think this might actually be the time, or is just the mere fact that there's going to be so much attention on Cousins and working him in, maybe that actually, while it's a great thing big picture, maybe that hamstrings a little bit some of the short-term getting on a run?
Yeah, I think this week was perfect for them. It was exactly what they needed. They found a couple of teams that were having tough years and got out and played real solid on the offensive end. Ball was moving, you know, and just, you know, to get themselves, feel good about themselves. You know, now, you know, Draymond is getting healthier, which is a good thing for their defense. They're going to get Cousins here in a few days, and that's going to give them something else to focus on. So I think this is a perfect week. It's exactly what they needed, you know, right here as you're hitting the midpoint of the season.
Tim, what do you think has gotten Klay Thompson going, or do you think it was just a matter of time?
Just a matter of time. I mean, you can't have his body of work and not, you know, unless it's something physical or, you know, something that we'd never seen before, you knew he was going to bounce back at some point and get this thing, you know, corrected and not even corrected, but just get back to who he was. And there was nothing to really to correct other than having the ball go through the basket. And he's just so good at getting that kind of rhythm. I've got somebody, one of our players is listening to me in the car. He's so good at being able to create his own shots and to come off that screen to catch the ball and score that, you know, it was only a matter of time.
Who's the player?
Wardell.
Oh. Yeah, he doesn't want to come on with me right now. Give him the phone. Ask
well,
him.
Well, hey,
I got to ask him where his assistant is.
Neither does Barry Zito, by the way.
Crushing Barry Zito.
No, Zito's fine. It's just I didn't like the way he needed his routine perfect, and that's why he couldn't come out of the bullpen.
Hey, every great player has a routine. Every great player has a routine and things that make them, you know, get them in their comfort zone. That's why when a player doesn't get to go through his routine, sometimes that can affect certain players.
Making me feel bad now.
You know, I think lost in, and I know Dallas is tomorrow, so I'm going to even do this a little bit. The Dallas game is tomorrow, and Cousins coming back Friday. And the game that I feel like is getting lost in the next week and in the next 3 weeks is the game in Denver on Tuesday. I mean, the Nuggets are leading the Western Conference. They're having a terrific year.
This Matt Simon. I don't appreciate it, man. Everybody wants to talk about what I'm not doing. Come on.
Hey,
be positive.
I got to tell you, this year has been a conundrum for me because your assists are down, but yet you're having a hell of a year, and I'm trying to explain it to the fans out there what's exactly happening.
You trash a two-time MVP.
I never trash a two-time MVP. Hey. Put him back on. I got a bone to pick with him.
Hey, we got to fly to Dallas, man.
All right.
Going in. No, actually, you know, like I said, the routine's very important. So you got to get players into their comfort zone.
Stephen Curry making a cameo here on 95.
Yeah, you know what?
Game.
See, Curry's killing us right now because he's not only not coming on to talk, but he's distracting our guest. So we're getting nothing.
Stop it.
Anytime Steph wants to come on and distract, he's more than welcome to.
Exactly.
More than welcome to. All right, Tim, we'll let you get out in the air and head to Dallas.
Hey, you take it easy on my fellow Bo Sox friend there, Mr. Curry.
Oh, that's right. He's a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
He is.
Well, you know we love Curry. He's a man.
Champions all across the board.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Steph. Yeah. Stephen Curry. Tim,
yeah, Steph Curry.
Joining us here at 95.7 The Game. That's fun.
It would have been nice if we could have gotten him for 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, it's all right. He got in and got out, made his point. It's always the heavy hitters, man. They're always listening to this show.
Yeah, I couldn't. There was a time I couldn't tell which was him and which was Tim.
It was just Steph, I think, got on and had his one.
Something about trash?
He had his
one, something about trash?
One line, and then he was out. It was just, I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to drop the phone right back in Tim's lap.
So he was like, it was Curry like being a caller saying, da 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 da, I'll take your comment off the air.
Pretty much. Mic drop.
Oh, man. You know what's funny is we're going to talk a lot about Curry later on. Comparing him to other Hall of Fame point guards. I wish, you know, maybe we should.
Yeah, you hit me last night late. Like, hey, is he better than Gary Payton? Is he better than this guy, that guy? And I said, yes, I think he is.
Well, I'm looking forward to discussing that. And I'll tell you why. And they might want to push the plane back a little so Curry can listen to this.
Hey, they're going to be up in the air.
So, honestly, you make a list of, like, some great recent Hall of Fame guards. Of which Curry absolutely belongs in the list. So you got Curry, let's say Jason Kidd, okay? Let's say Nash, okay? Let's say Payton. And I think I gave you one other one last night. Do you remember offhand?
I could go back and find it.
Just to give it a group of five. Oh, Stockton. John Stockton.
Yep, Isaiah Stockton.
Oh, Isaiah, I
Kidd,
put in there.
Payton.
Let's put Isaiah Thomas in there, too. So that's five great point Hall of Famers. Curry's headed to that list. All right. So do you take Curry over all those five guys? See, and here's what I say. Let me stop before you get an answer. Curry's statistically, I think, probably the most impactful of all those guys. But what I like to do is, what if Gary Payton played in this era? See, I think Payton would be a good enough three-point shooter to be a factor. Defensively, he wouldn't be as dominant. But I'll tell you what, like I see Gary Payton almost being kind of like a guy who could shoot, but's like Ben Simmons a little bit. You know, Payton could have brought the ball up as a regular point guard. He also could have kind of brought the ball up and backed his way to wherever he needed to go. And if you needed to play out of the post, you could do that with Payton. I'm not saying Payton's better than Curry. I just like to spend some time kind of comparing these guys. And okay, why, like, for example, and I'm not saying he's not, why is Curry better than Steve Nash? Again, I'm not saying he's not, but why is he better than Steve Nash?
I think it's just the combination of scoring and playmaking.
Okay, fair.
I think he's taken it to another level. I think they're similar players, frankly.
Right.
I just think Curry took his game to a more dominant level.
And I think
for longer.
Okay. Here's what I think.
And he's still going.
I think if Steph Curry, and this is going to, another thing that might not sound right. If Curry were born when Nash was born and Nash was born with Curry, I think Curry would have been Nash. And I think Nash would have been Curry because I think Curry was a natural progression from Steve Nash. To me, Steve Nash passed the ball as well as Curry shot it, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And so because Curry shot the ball, but Nash shot the ball as well as him almost, right? I mean, Steve Nash's three-point career percentage has to be over 40.
Yeah, and Nash probably didn't shoot it enough.
Right, exactly. And that's why, I think the perception is the reason Curry's quote-unquote better, he's way more of a scorer. He's more of a scorer than Steve Nash.
With a lot of the playmaking.
No doubt.
But not as much in terms of assist totals
and that kind
of thing.
But, yeah, so I just think that it's just kind of fun to talk about that kind of stuff. Jason Kidd, too, where does he fit?
888-957-9570, we can get into that. We can also get into DeMarcus Cousins' return still. We've been doing that. Scott in Berkeley will get us going on the phone lines as well. It's Warriors this week at 95.7 The Game.
Draymond avoids Durant. Durant takes it to the front court, throws to Curry. Curry fires away. It's up and good, a three in front of the Warrior bench. And Steph Curry is now the third all-time three-point maker in NBA history. 2,283 three-point field goals.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back with you here on 95.7 The Game, Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The phone lines are open. What are you most excited about with DeMarcus Cousins' return? What are you most concerned about with DeMarcus Cousins' return? And we're also putting Stephen Curry into a historical context, yeah, among other great point guards after Stephen Curry joined us on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, Curry.
In case you missed that.
Yeah, Curry heard what we were saying about a half hour ago, 20 minutes ago, and just wanted to support us. And what'd he say?
He's always got nothing but love for you, Steph.
Well, he was talking about how much we know about basketball. He said he was impressed.
That's what it is. He always wants to make sure that he gets a little jab at you.
I'll tell you what.
Good-natured.
Hey, he could be Matt Barnes.
He could be.
Or even DeMarcus Cousins. You know, they wouldn't be able to joke around like that. But he's a good little player, Steph. Good little player. I was partly responsible for his rise because I was critical of him early in his career, and my sources say he used that as motivation. So I'm partly responsible for this dynasty. Don't you think? I was like a personal coach for him.
Scott in Berkeley, you're on 95.7 The Game, Warriors This Week. Hey, Scott.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Two thoughts. When DeMarcus starts playing, it's going to take, I think, probably about 4 to 5 games. But when we were talking about Draymond shooting earlier, I think he's going to have to take at least a couple of shots more. If only because sometimes the best offense you generate is a brick followed by an offensive rebound. And DeMarcus is the first guy they've had probably since David Lee who could chase down an offensive board, go back up, and either get the bucket or get fouled. Now, with Steph, I quit calling him a superstar a long time ago. He's an evolutionary figure because of the depth of the shooting. And it forces defenses into adjusting. The only guy I've ever seen who shot from the kind of distance that Steph will shoot from actually played here, Gilbert Arenas. But with Steph, it's a totally different thing because of how he hunts it. That's all I've got today.
Yeah, listen.
Thanks, Scott.
I don't know if we were talking about this yesterday or not. What separates Steph Curry from every other great three-point shooter that's ever played the game and why he's the best three-point shooter of all time, or at least the most impactful, is his ability to shoot the three off the dribble, period.
Yeah, we did talk about that last night.
Reggie Miller, catch and shoot. Ray Allen, catch and shoot, although he could drift a little bit. Jason Kidd, catch and shoot. Steph Curry can create space beyond the line and be accurate. That's the difference between Curry and every other three-point shooter that's come along before him. Now, there's going to start to be players, and we already see Doncic already. He can create his own three-pointer. But JD, let's say 10 years ago, okay, it was unheard of to create your own three-pointer. Would you agree with that? It was, we'll take threes, but it's got to be inside out. Get your feet set.
There weren't a lot of guys that even took a pull-up three.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing. That's where I think Curry...
Let alone dribbling it in the half court and then
that's
firing
a great point. It's a great point because it's hard to reach the basket from that far out when you don't have your momentum. And so that's why Curry's form is perfect for him, because he doesn't shoot a traditional jump shot. He needs his legs, don't get me wrong. He uses his legs in a big way, but not to shoot a jump shot. His ability to get a shot off from beyond the line is what separates him from every other player who's ever taken threes.
Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Curry got his numbers in far less time, and he's still on the rise.
Well, he's not on the rise up the 3-point ladder, but he's not on the rise as a player. He's not still getting better.
But he could still be at his top point. If it's, you know how you get to the top, you know, if you're drawing a graph, you get to the top and it's not necessarily a point. It just you get to like almost
a
table.
A mesa.
And then you start. I think he's on a table at the top.
I'll go with you there. He's not getting better. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, how can he get better? Seriously. How can he get better realistically? Be a better 3-point shooter? Not going to happen.
Fewer turnovers even.
Okay, but he's really not going to have fewer. I mean, you know, kind of that ship has sailed. He's 10 years in now.
Yeah.
So, now listen, you're right. He can stay at this level for a couple years, but I don't necessarily think he's still getting better.
Nick is up next here on 95.7 The Game on Warriors This Week. Hey, Nick. Nick?
How you doing, fellas?
What's up, Nick? How you doing, man?
James, great impression. Pretty good. I want to get you guys' thoughts. I can't really back this up with facts or anything, but it seems like when Curry is dominant, has the ball, scoring the most, the Warriors win more resoundingly and dominate, or they seem like they're playing better than when KD has the ball and is ISO and he's scoring more. Just want to get your thoughts.
I think there's something there.
Yeah, I think there is something there too.
And I think it's almost an emotional component that the whole team feeds off of. Let's face it, Curry's exciting.
There's a buzz to Curry.
Curry's exciting.
It's infectious and it's everywhere from the crowd to.
Let's just say hypothetically, Anthony Davis and Steph Curry are the exact same talent level or exact same player. One guy's big, but whatever. It's still 99 out of 100 people are taking Curry over Anthony Davis if they think they're the exact same player, because Curry's more exciting. He just is, and that's a part of basketball. And the other part of basketball is, maybe some people don't subscribe to it, but momentum. If you've been in Oracle Arena in any of the last 4 or 5 years and watch Steph Curry put on a show or start getting going, there's nobody that leads his team like he does. There just isn't, because the way he does it is so dynamic. And so he makes teammates better because they love playing when he's doing that. So that's, you know, that's why, that's another reason why he's great. I mean, look, there's never going to be another Steph Curry. There's never going to be, the Warriors are never going to have the total package like this again. It's impossible. I mean, if you look at Curry in terms of his production and face of the franchise and then what he does for the franchise and then the kind of representative he is for the franchise, I mean, he's right up there with Bill Russell.
He's an all-time great.
Exactly.
He is an all-time great.
He's up there with Michael Jordan in that regard.
Right. It's not all-star, superstar, whatever. He's an all-time great.
Right. Right.
Like, it's reached that level.
Yes, and being an all-time, and this is where it doesn't matter if, is he better than Jordan? Is he better than Bird? Is this? It doesn't matter. He's the greatest Warrior of all time. And, you know, we talk about, remember we had all that statue talk?
Sure. I mean,
And we got a lot of mileage out of it.
It's him and everybody else.
That's right. Steph Curry, he getting a statue. No doubt about it. Steph Curry's getting a statue. And you know what? Steph Curry deserves a statue because of what he's done here. The other thing that I think people, sometimes you just have to stop and think about it, JD, is where this franchise was. Where they were. I mean, they missed the playoffs, 17 out of 18 years? 16 out of 17? I should know that off the top of my head. I've lived it. But then they drafted Curry. And it didn't change right away, but he was the impetus. And things started to change. And they got David Lee. Oh, David Lee, David Lee. Well, you know what? They got better with David Lee. And they started climbing the ladder, but it all started.
And they got so good that they didn't even need David Lee.
Exactly. But it all started with Steph Curry. That's why he's one of the greatest of all.
In fact, you might as well put a statue out in front of Oracle and then put another one out in front of Chase Center and just let the one at Oracle stand for just forever, no matter what on that property.
I wonder if there's a better place in Oakland to put a statue of Curry.
Maybe.
With the Warriors not at Oracle. Heck, with his shoe, the stuff he's doing at the theater with the shoes in the city of Oakland. Yeah, he gets it.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. It's Warriors This Week with John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game. We're halfway through here on a Saturday.
Somebody needs to cut that up and send it to Curry, what I just said about him.
Yeah.
Thinks I trash him.
He's listening.
Thinks I trash him.
He's listening.
Man.
He's ready.
Rick Barry, all right? Rick Barry was one of the greatest Warriors of all time. He was a leader.
Yeah.
He was a world champion. And with all due respect to Rick Barry, he wasn't even close to in Steph Curry's league in terms of being inclusive and in being the kind of teammate he was and in being a representative of the franchise and of being out there in the community and all that kind of stuff. The guy's pretty incredible. Really is. How long do you think he's going to play? I know, I'm playing the role of guru today.
Well, we're not even at a point, and I appreciate it. We're not even at a point, I think, yet where we're close enough to the end to see the end or to even.
Well, it's more
does that make sense?
Yeah, but it's more mindset. You think he'll retire in 3 or 4 years, or do you think he'll try to play late into his 30s, I guess is what I'm...
I think he's going to end up being 37 or at least 38. I don't know if he gets to 40, but I think...
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder.
Mean, I'm just looking and right
what's
now.
What's his quote-unquote decline going to look like? What's it even going to look like? 1 year he's going to, like, in 2 years is he going to shoot 38% from three-point range? And then the year after that dropped down to 36, and now he's turning it over a little more. I have no idea what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I could see him. I could see him playing another 7 years.
And he's 30 now.
He'll be 31 now that we're in to 2019. He'll be 31 in March, so it's coming up.
Curry statue at the west end of Lake Merritt where they hold the parade. Yeah, I like that idea.
It's a good idea.
I like that idea. Just looking out over the lake. And what's his image? Is it the shot? Is that his image, just him shooting? You know how Jordan, it's the dunk with the one hand, and Jerry West is the logo. I think Kevin Durant's would be that little fall away. Kareem would be a sky hook. Curry just a statue of that perfect shooting form?
Or it would be a statue of him crossing up Chris Paul. And Chris Paul would be in the statue like on the ground.
Kind of like the Joe Montana and the Dwight Clark. They have those two the perfect distance apart. They could have the Curry statue with the statue of Chris Paul on the ground. Yeah. I like that.